This is the FI After 40 podcast, a show where I dive into the FIRE movement to see what financial independence is all about. I'll share the steps I've taken to start my journey toward becoming financially independent, and along the way, I'll bring in others who are on a path of their own. You'll hear stories and advice from people who have reached their version of FI, and from those like me who are still finding their way. This is a show for anyone who wants to learn, grow, and connect with others. This is FI After 40. Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Ben. Thanks for tuning in to the FI After 40 podcast. This is episode number 18. So today we've got kind of a quick episode. I'm just going to talk through a topic that I've been thinking about recently, and that is, what's the downside of trying to be normal? Now, that might seem kind of silly, but there's something to that. People tend to want to be normal. I know I do. That's something I've felt since I was a kid, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to look at it from the perspective of how does it impact our lives as adults, financially, but also just how we interact with other people. So let's jump into it. Most of my life, I've wanted nothing more than to be normal. I realized as I've gotten older that being normal isn't always a good thing. There's definitely scenarios where being like everyone else and following the path that everyone else is following can lead to some negative consequences. So I wanted to walk through my perspective on how I've tried to rethink what normal is and when that's maybe a good thing, but when that is something that I should step back and come up with my own version of what I should be doing, right? So first of all, what is the definition of normal? It's conforming to a standard, usual, typical, expected. So it's just, again, we all know what that means, trying to fit in. And that's why people tend to gravitate towards that desire to be normal. They want to be accepted. They want to fit in with other people. And that's, again, it's a natural thing that many of us are going to aspire to. That's not the case with everyone. There are definitely people who are very comfortable doing their own thing. And those people are, you know, often trendsetters and are comfortable going off and saying, hey, this is my path. I don't care what you say. This is what I'm doing. And I really admire those people. I am not one of those. I've always been somebody who has wanted to stand out as little as possible. And it's kind of a weird thing. Thinking back to being a kid, it's like, why is it so scary to stand out? I remember getting this t-shirt at Christmas, and it was, I think, like a Varney splat t-shirt. Anyone from the 80s would probably remember that, but it was like this colorful t-shirt that was like pretty cool, but I wasn't used to wearing like cool t-shirts. And so I remember wearing it to school the first time and just like, everyone's looking at me. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. And I felt so weird wearing this thing that was kind of a flashy t-shirt, even though, you know, at the time it was stylish, but I just always was uncomfortable with standing out. And so I've always wanted to do the right thing and follow the rules and live up to other people's expectations. That's really ingrained in my personality. So for me, it's really hard to step back again and say, nope, I'm going to do something different than other people. The downside to being normal and to sticking with the path that everyone else is following is that you avoid taking risks. And risks are what will lead to failure sometimes, and that's what leads to growth. And that's a concept I've heard more and more, and it's made more and more sense to me as I've really thought about it. It's one of those like lessons you learn as a kid. Oh, you learn from your mistakes. Everybody knows that. But you still avoid those mistakes at all costs. So being normal means less risk, means less of an opportunity to fail, especially in the eyes of others. But again, that holds you back. So without risk, you can't grow. And it also hides your uniqueness. Being unique, being yourself, standing out in a good way. If you're just trying to conform to what everyone else is doing, it's hard to really find yourself. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, is finding you, what's important to you, what you want out of life, and being comfortable embracing that in the eyes of others. So what I've tried to do is outline a few different areas where in my own life, I have tried to be as normal as possible and live up to those normal expectations and a lot of these have had negative consequences for me. So this is not meant to be judgy. It's not meant to say you should never do this. It's just trying to identify and have awareness of areas in people's lives where the easy thing to do it the way everyone else is doing it. And there might be a better way for you. So I'll read through some of these. And again, this is my take on it. It's not saying never do these things or you're a bad person if you've gone down this path. It's really just more, again, recognizing, bring some awareness to it so you can stop and think about it. So the first one is pretty obvious. It's just the concept of accruing debt. And there's a lot of places that we do this, and debt is something you get used to. It's something that I got used to, whether it's student loans, having a mortgage, having consumer debt with credit cards. There's a lot of places in our life where you kind of build up that debt and you become numb to it because, hey, everyone has credit card debt. That's just how it works. You just pay for the stuff that you can't really afford right now with a credit card and we'll pay it off over time. That's the system. We're all used to it. And it's kind of a trap you fall into. And it doesn't have to be that way. There's definitely value in saving for things and paying for them in full when you can afford to do it. And it's about forming good habits and having discipline and delaying gratification and all these things that I think logically make sense to us. But it's hard to resist the instant gratification of saying, you know, I'm just going to get this thing now. I'll pay it off later. You know, I'll pay a little interest, no big deal. But the problem is it's a snowball in the wrong direction. And you buy another thing, and then you buy another thing, and it just kind of grows. And it becomes this thing where the more you do it, the easier it is to do. And when you've got debt in all these different parts of your life, it feels normal. And you know that everyone else is dealing with it. So being able, again, to step back and say, I need to set some boundaries with what I'm spending my money on. And if I can't afford this because I don't have the money, I'm not buying it. Now, there's obviously things like buying a home. Most people aren't going to save up in cash to pay for a home. So I'm not anti-mortgage. I'm not anti-financing a home. Most people have to, and that's fine. But it's being smart about it, and it's knowing that just because you qualify for something doesn't mean that you should go for it. I know for me personally, I've owned two different homes, and in both scenarios, I purchased homes that were at the max end of my budget, and it caused me to be house poor. And I didn't have any room in my budget to save or pay things down. And so, yeah, I could technically afford it and I was approved for it, but I could have figured something else out. I could have delayed that purchase. I probably should have rented for a longer period of time, but I was getting married. We wanted to get a house. It's just, again, you're kind of jumping into that American dream and just going with what you think you're supposed to do. It's what everyone else was doing around me. It's like, hey, you buy a house when you get married. That's just one of the things that you do. So I think I would have been better off if I had saved up more of a down payment. We did no down payment. We had a deal where we didn't have to put any down. And we were just always maxed out. It was a really bad way to start adulthood by maxing everything out. Student loans, again, similar. They're kind of a necessity for a lot of people, and these may change in the future. There's been tons of talk about changing how we do student loans, especially on the federal side. But I think there's going to be more and more of a trend towards more affordable higher education, whether it's online universities, it's taking creative combinations of classes to maximize the value. It cannot go on the way it has, where students are graduating between them and a student and their family having hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And I've seen it firsthand. I've worked for universities and I've seen the debt that students accrue, and it's just insane. And so I'm hoping that people will be able to really find some creative options to get around this and not rack up such a large amount of debt. I don't have an answer for this, obviously, but it's just an area to be aware of and hopefully rethink how you're doing this and what's the best option for you to finance your education. Now, buying and leasing cars, that's another area. Everybody loves new cars. I mean, who doesn't like getting a new car? It's one of the coolest things you can do. It's so exciting. I've gotten a few different cars over the years, and I have done the last three cars I've bought brand new. And now I'm at a point where I'm considering trading in a car that's about 6 years old to get maybe one that's a little bit older, just because I'm not commuting anymore. I've been working from home for most of this year, and I probably will into at least the middle of next year, I'm guessing, based on what I've heard from my employer. So my car needs have changed a little bit, but it's so easy to get car financing and just go, hey, yeah, I'll just spend $400 a month on my car payment and just get used to that. And you're always doing it. And I know the argument a lot of people have is, well, if I bought an older car, there's more repairs and it's going to cost me more to maintain it. And yes, you will probably have to spend more money on repairs and maintenance than you would with a new car. But you also don't have a car payment if you buy something in full in cash. So, you know, even if you do spend a couple thousand dollars a year to maintain it, you're still spending half of what you'd be spending on a brand new car, or less than half. So financially, it makes sense, but it's just something that you get used to saying, I want a new car. That's what you do. You lease one, you get a new one every 3 years, or I drive it for 4 or 5 years and then I trade it in. And then you're basically in this cycle where you're just renting a car indefinitely. So I would say if you do buy a new car, be one of those people that drives it until it's done, you know, and then you've got a long stretch of time where you're not making any car payments, and that's great. But if you're in that cycle of every few years trading it in and getting a new one, that's something to step back and say, there's got to be a better way. Another area that I've really fallen victim to is the idea of updating your home. And I just said that I had two homes that I've purchased. I remember the first one was a 3-bedroom ranch, and I remember saying, man, I would love a garage. I would love a back porch. I would love having some extra space in the basement. And then the next house we bought had extra space in the basement. It had a back porch. It had a garage. And I remember saying, yeah, now I would really love it if we could have a finished basement. And I would love an updated kitchen. And it would be really cool if the front steps were like a porch. And so you get into the cycle where there's like always something more you can upgrade to. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't maintain your home, because you should. You definitely need to make sure that all the, you know, the windows and the roof and all those kind of core pieces are going to be in good shape. But it's some of the stuff that you just kind of do more from an aesthetic perspective, like update your kitchen, update your bathroom. You know, those are tens of thousands of dollars you're spending to make your bathroom look nice. And that's money that you could be putting aside in an emergency fund, or maybe taking a couple of family trips and having some experiences that are maybe more expensive, but those are things that you're going to remember for the rest of your life with your family. And I think it's just hard sometimes to resist what's in our faces, which is Lowe's commercials, Home Depot commercials. We're kind of this HGTV generation where everything is updated and flipped. And so you just see it all the time. And again, it becomes normal. This is what people do. You buy a house, you upgrade your front yard, you add a porch, you add a new coat of paint. And, you know, some of that stuff is totally fine. I've gone through all those experiences, but it's about finding out really what is necessary and identifying where do you want to invest your money? Do you want to invest it in upgrading the different rooms of your house? Or are there better ways for you to spend that money? If you can afford to do it, that's great. Go for it. But I think what happens, and this is speaking from personal experience, is you get in the habit of doing those upgrades when you can't afford it. And so then that's really when it's an issue, is when you're putting money on credit cards, you're kind of refinancing to upgrade things, and you're taking on more debt just to change the look of your house. And I think that's where it becomes more problematic. Another area that I've really tried to focus on is the normalized eating of low quality food. So the kind of fast, easy, cheap, you know, fast food, things on the go, frozen stuff, ordering takeout. That kind of mentality is something that can be, I think it's detrimental to your health and to your finances. So there's kind of a double whammy there. And I have definitely started to pivot over the last few years to focus more on what I'm trying to cook and eat is of a higher quality. Not that it has to be 100% organic. I know that some people are totally on the organic kind of bandwagon. And sure, there are definitely some things that make more sense to be organic, and I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not saying you have to go that route. I'm just thinking, what's the portion of your diet that is simple carbs, you know, stuff that's like crackers and chips and cereal and white bread and all these kind of like these carbs. And people focus on carbs as kind of like a weight gain thing. And there's different kind of myths about that. I just think it's more of an issue of it's just not high quality food. So it's a lot of calories and you're not getting much nutrition from it. So just thinking of stuff like what's the most nutrition I can get from the food that I'm buying and serving myself and my family, and thinking of just because everybody else is ordering pizza on Friday nights, do we have to do the same thing? Or can we come up with something that's a little more healthy, a little better for the family, and a little cheaper? And there's a lot of wins in there that you can find. So one that I've also struggled with is the whole idea of spending time watching television. And especially with Netflix, I think it's just become so easy to spend time, like hours, watching television. And it's funny because I feel like I can't commit to watching a movie most days because it's like, oh, I don't have 2 hours to watch a movie, but I'll watch 3 hours of The Office or whatever food show is on Netflix. And so it's like I'm still watching hours and hours at different points in my life, even though it's not a movie. And I think television isn't inherently a bad thing, but it's not the most productive way to spend your time. And I was having this conversation with my kids about YouTube, and again, not television, but kind of similar, and how much time they want to spend watching YouTube. And I said to them, it's not bad to watch YouTube a bit here and there, but when you're spending 2, 3, 4 hours straight watching YouTube, you're not doing anything with your brain. You're just staring at this screen. It's not good for your eyes to do that. I know I sound like my parents. Don't sit too close to the television. It's bad for your eyes. I know it is bad for your eyes to have a tablet in your face, you know, 6 inches away. So there's something to that. But what's more concerning is just, what are you spending your time doing? Could you be doing something different? Could you spend some time reading? Could you spend some time outside? Could you spend some time together playing a board game? There's a lot of things that you can do with your time that are more productive than sitting there watching television for 2 or 3 hours every single night. And that's such an easy habit to fall into because, again, everybody does it. They get home, grab some food, sit down in front of the television, spend the rest of the night there, and then go to bed. And in some ways, it's okay with the family time there. I remember watching TV shows with my family, but if that's just the habit ongoing, there's got to be a better way to spend your time than just staring at a television. I mentioned before the idea of getting married and the American dream. So one of the points I wanted to make is that if you're not ready to get married or to have kids, don't feel like you have to do it by a certain point. I know a lot of people who are like, oh, I better get married by the time I'm 30. And it's just hard when you set those kind of arbitrary deadlines on things. You might be better off not doing that. It's really your own choice. But doing it because you feel like you have to, that's what is problematic there. I think marriage can be a great thing. Having kids is an amazing experience. But for people who feel like that's not something that they really want, I totally respect that. You know, you shouldn't feel like you have to have kids. There's just because, you know, maybe you feel guilty, like my parents want grandkids, so I guess I'm going to do it. Like, that's a tough thing to do, to subject yourself to if you're really not into it. If you're not ready for marriage or for kids, don't do it. Either wait or don't do it at all. And that's really your choice to make. But I feel like that's just one of these things that everyone just kind of feels like, this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. And I think you should do it because it's what you really want to do, not because it's what your family wants or it's what society wants. Marriage and having kids is really a super personal thing, and it needs to be your own personal choice. So one of the last ones I'll touch on here is a pet peeve that I have about myself, and it's being on my phone constantly, especially around my kids. It is so hard for me to be away from my phone, and probably anyone listening to this, it would agree, if you ever leave your phone at home for some reason, it's like you don't even know what to do. It's like you've left like your arm at home and you can't like drive your car anymore. It's just like, it's like you've lost part of your body. It's crazy because you're so used to always checking it. If you're not one of those people, if you are really able to moderate your phone usage, good for you. Tell me how you're doing it, because I've tried to implement some tactics with not bringing my phone places, but it's just a really tough habit. And it's crazy because you see it everywhere you go. If you're ever waiting somewhere, if you're at an airport or in a lounge at a restaurant waiting to be seated or anywhere, everyone's on their cell phone. And even when you're in the restaurant, this is what's crazy to me, is you see families and like the kids are staring at a tablet and the parents are staring at phones and they're all at a family dinner together. I'm like, why did you even go out if you're going to just stare at your phone? And like, trust me, I know it's hard because again, I do it too. So this isn't meant to be like a judgment on everyone. It's just a habit and it's normalized. And it hasn't always been like that. I was just having a conversation with my friend's son yesterday, and I think he's turning 12. And he asked me, he said, what grade were you in when you got your first phone? And I was like, cell phones didn't exist when I was in elementary school. I didn't get my first mobile phone, cell phone, until after college. I didn't have one growing up. Like, nobody did. They weren't a thing. And we were fine. And, but like now, like even kids, it's like, if you're 10, 11, 12, you're like, where's my phone? I want one. Everyone else has one. So it's a tough habit to break. And I don't know how we're going to do it as a society, because it's just, it seems like it's getting worse and worse. But if you can find a way to step back from your phone and free up time to spend on better things, interacting with people, that's a huge win right there. Okay. So some takeaways from this conversation: really focus on being intentional. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your money? What are the choices that you're making? Don't just go along with these choices because you feel like you have to, or it's what everyone else is doing. Really know that you feel good about those purchases and those decisions that you're making. Identify what is valuable in your life. Is it time? Is it experiences? It has to be stuff like that and not just owning things, right? Like, that's really what you should be focused on, is what are the things that are going to bring value to your life, and that's what you spend your money on. Things that are just there because you want it to look good, you want to show off to other people, and that's maybe not a conscious thing, but I think that that's built into our psyche. It's just wanting other people to be impressed with where you are in life. That's not really the right decision to make. Also, remember the value of patience and discipline. These are core things. You learn these when you're a kid. You know, you save up for things. That's when you want something, you save up for it. You're taught that from a very young age. That doesn't change when you're an adult. You should still be following those core principles. So there's something to be said for working hard for things, saving up for them, being disciplined and not being spontaneous with things. And again, understanding the value of what's important in your life. So that's my take on the downside of being normal. Being normal is something that, again, we all strive for in a lot of ways, but there's a lot of value in finding your own path. So I hope this was helpful. I hope it provided some perspective, got your mind thinking. That's really what I'm going for, is just to get you thinking about the choices that you're making in your life. It's not to say, hey, this is what you need to do, this is the right path. It's just to get you thinking about stuff. So that wraps things up for today. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll talk to you next week. To read more about my story, be sure to follow me at FiAfter40 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also subscribe to receive updates whenever new content goes up at FiAfter40.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review. It makes a big difference. Thanks for listening.